Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is filled with changes. We can see our society is constantly shifting all around us and that it is continually on the go. Public attitudes even change rather quickly these days. Some of them may even be good, but some of them are not. One of the things that is changing, has changed the world all around us is the internet. For through it now, people who live thousands of miles away can visit each other by seeing each other in person, live, real time, and it is certainly a nice thing to have. Also, there have been advances in medicine which have created a significant improvement in many people's lives. But then also around us are changes that are not good. This internet, which can be a tool for good, is also used to spread false information, and much immorality takes place there. We witnessed a militant march in our society, allowing transgender people to use restrooms that match their gender identity, and even people are now allowed to pick whichever pronouns they want for themselves. Marriage and sexuality are being turned upside down. This is an assault on God's word, and it's an assault on family. Many Christians feel helpless as they watch society go seemingly crazy. And many who consider themselves Christian are jumping right on that bandwagon, figuring that perhaps God has nothing to say on these matters in our modern age. Even Christian denominations are throwing in the towel, succumbing to the whims of our modern culture. In the ELCA, which is larger than our Missouri Synod, it's a church body that considers itself Lutheran, their leaders, or their teaching has now departed from the Bible's teaching on marriage and family, sexuality, the Sixth Commandment. And it looks like the United Methodist Church will likely split over this whole matter. So why do churches regularly and readily depart from the teachings of the Bible? Well, one reason has to do with today's theme of the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. For they feel that they, if they vote on a doctrinal issue, that the Holy Spirit is guiding them to make the decisions that they make. Even if their vote contradicts the Bible, they feel that is how the Spirit is at work. You see, many churches think that the Holy Spirit is guiding them and even blessing them as they depart from the clear teaching of Scripture. But the Holy Spirit has never promised to guide people away from the sacred scriptures. In fact, the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write to the Galatians to correct them as they were departing from the teachings that they had learned. And so, guided by the Holy Spirit, St. Paul writes to them, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you have received, let him be accursed." Also, Jesus, as you heard in today's gospel, declared to the disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." What this means is that we, as the church, as God's people, have no right to tamper with the Word of God. If we think that we can depart from Scripture, no matter how pious or good of a reason we may come up with, then Jesus is warning us, he's warning us that we don't love him. That makes sense, because if we did love him, we would want to listen to what he says. We would want to keep his word. Our desire to keep his word would be there, even when we, in the weakness of our flesh, cannot keep that word. For when we cannot keep that word, we turn to him, not departing from him, but we turn to him in repentance. And we can't get all philosophical or theoretical about it, saying, well, I can believe whatever it is that pleases me and whatever I want, and I still love Jesus. Well, Jesus' words are clear. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So why then do some churches gather in convention and vote on matters which are already decided by Holy Scripture? Or why do some voters' assemblies in our own church body choose to disobey the word of God and vote according to ways that they would want? Does it mean that they don't love Jesus? Well, that certainly may be the case. That's what Jesus is saying. It could also mean that they're not taking the Bible seriously, that they simply don't believe that the Bible is God's divine revelation today. It could be also that they figure that the Holy Spirit is just leading them into this decision, to this new truth. But of course, that is wrong. So does the Holy Spirit really lead churches to depart from Scripture and adopt teachings which are contrary to the Bible? The answer is a simple no. The Holy Spirit does not guide anyone to abandon the Bible's teachings. So what then does? Well, we have this threefold temptation: the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. They all work to deceive us and mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. These are the ones, the devil, the world, and yes, even our own sinful nature, are the ones guiding us to depart from Scripture. We as God's children are to resist these temptations, for they are prominent, they are everywhere, and we face it daily. We are to face these temptations and cling to the truth of God's word. So even if the whole world has changed their teaching, even if every church in our own denomination has changed their teaching, but us, we remain faithful, and we keep on adhering to the truth that is found in the sacred scriptures. If everyone else has adopted strange new teachings, we do not listen to them or go along with them, but we listen to what God teaches in his word. And in doing so, we are allowing the Holy Spirit to do his very work that the Son sent him to do. You see, those who claim that they are allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them as they depart from the Scriptures aren't actually listening to the Holy Spirit, but they are listening to the devil, the world, and their sinful nature. And then what they'll do as they're listening to the devil, the world, or their sinful nature, they will accuse us of stifling the Holy Spirit, saying that we are not letting the Holy Spirit have his way with us as we cling to the old-fashioned Bible teachings. But what they have done is they have pit Scripture against the Spirit. The Bible, though, the Holy Scriptures, are inspired by God the Holy Spirit. As it is written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Breathed out by God. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, met with the disciples, and he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit showed that he has come, fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, when there was the sound of the rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit had just come upon Peter at Pentecost, And what does Peter do? He preaches divine truth. As we heard in Peter's sermon on Pentecost from our reading in Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes the prophet Joel. And then after that, after our reading concludes, Peter's sermon continues, and he is quoting the Psalms. That is how the Holy Spirit is guiding Peter to preach on Pentecost, to teach and preach straight from the Bible. And that's how faithful preaching is to be done to this day. Jesus sends pastors to preach God's word, not man's word. Jesus sends preachers to preach divine truth, not man's opinions. Jesus sends pastors to show the way of everlasting life, not to affirm what man feels should be life, which is actually sin. So even though the world is changing all around us, even though things are constantly on the go, and you can see technology changing, advancements being done everywhere, and people's attitudes about life have changed and religion have changed, even though these things are changing around us, the message of Christ has not changed. The way of salvation has not changed. The forgiveness of sins earned by Jesus on the cross some 2,000 years ago has not changed. The means of baptism by which God adds you to his family has not changed. The means of the Lord's Supper by which you receive the body and blood of Jesus has not changed. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, as Hebrews 13 teaches. Peter preached of our unchanging Savior at Pentecost. And as a result of the Spirit's work through the preaching of Peter and the other apostles, 3,000 souls were added to that Christian church that day and were baptized into Christ. Just consider what took place that first Pentecost, when the Spirit came as Jesus had promised, with this rushing mighty wind and the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The apostles could now speak in languages that they had not learned, and there were tongues of fire alighting them. Yet some mocked them, saying that they are filled with new wine. But, of course, Peter reasons with them. They are not drunk. It is but the third hour, which means it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And plus, no way could some drunks possibly stage such a miraculous event as what happened at Pentecost. Clearly, the events at Pentecost were the very acts of God. The preaching was inspired by God the Holy Spirit. In fact, Peter's sermon is so good, we ought to hear some more of it. In the verses which follow, Peter says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." That is who Jesus is and what he has done for you. He is your Lord, he is your Christ. He died on the cross and he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. This is the preaching that you are to hear when you go to church, of Christ and his bleeding, dying love and his glorious resurrection, knowing that through him you have the gift of eternal life. As you hear this word, you also hear the preaching of the law, such as what Peter did. This Jesus whom you crucified, God raised up. Why do we need this law? It's so that we are convicted of our sin and that we know why then we need our Savior. And then you also need to hear this gospel of Christ to teach you of who your Savior is and the gifts that he has earned for you when he bled and died for you on the cross, that he was crucified to take your sin away, and that he is risen as the victor over sin, death, and the devil. These wonderful words are yours to hear, and in these words the Spirit is at work to grant you the gift of eternal life. For it is written, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And that's why we also heard in Acts chapter 2, verse 6, everyone heard them speak in his own language. Speaking and hearing, that is the means by which the Holy Spirit operates. So do you want faith? Faith which is able to save your body and soul? Then listen to where the speaking is done. Listen and hear the preaching of the word of Christ. For God uses sinful men to proclaim the gospel, whether it's your pastor or your neighbor or even yourself, to tell others the good news of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is at work through that. We listen. Pastors preach, the people listen. Remember, through Peter's preaching on Pentecost, thousands came to faith. They listened to what God had to say through the mouths of weak and sinful men. Men who just 50 days earlier were hiding out of fear are now proclaiming the Christ crucified and risen before thousands of people. And God chose to continue to expand and grow his church through the preaching of these sinful people who are redeemed by Christ. God continues to work in that same way today, raising up sinful parents to raise their children in the Christian faith, sinful but redeemed parents. And in the same way, raising up sinful but redeemed pastors who proclaim to you the wonderful works of God. That is why you are here, why you gather, to hear, as the people did at Pentecost, the wonderful works of God. And as you hear this word of God, the Spirit is at work, for he is calling, gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying his Christian church on earth, and he is directing you to your Savior, Jesus. And Jesus is giving you access to your Father in heaven. These are your blessings that you have in Christ. God the Holy Spirit has come to guide you into the way of truth. And so you are baptized into Christ. You have the unchanging word of God proclaimed faithfully each week in your own language. You have the Lord's Supper offered to you week after week. And in these blessings, God is granting you saving faith. And he is preparing you to be with him in the gates of paradise. For with saving faith comes eternal life and salvation. Thanks be to God the Father for planning out your salvation and never wavering from his plan, despite the many changes that take place in the world around us. And thanks be to God the Son for earning your salvation by shedding his innocent blood on your behalf. And thanks be to God the Holy Spirit for delivering this salvation to you through the divine word and the sacraments. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.